Hi, I'm Lena.
And I'm Amon.
And welcome back to Season 3 of Grounded Geeks.
Where in Season 3, we will continue to make the geek world relevant.
So, yeah, aren't you guys so happy we didn't take a 5-year hiatus this time? I think we're making really good progress, Amon.
I think so, too. Yeah. Good progress. Yeah. Good job, us.
Yep. We just needed to take a quick break, you know, recharge, rejuvenate, all those things that the new year tends to make you do. I guess maybe. I don't know. We're still in a pandemic. I don't know how much you can recharge.
We were tired.
Yeah.
We were tired. We needed a break. Life was crazy.
Yeah. But anyway, so today we are finally talking about Eternals.
The Eternals, I believe. No, there's
isn't
an
it
article.
Just called Eternals? Oh my God, Amon. Now oh my God. Do we, unbelievable.
Do we have to look this up now?
I'm pretty sure it's just called Eternals.
I'm pretty sure there's an article in front of it.
Nope, I was right.
Oh my God. Okay. Eternals.
Thank you. So okay.
I feel like there should be a the in front of there. Just feels right grammatically.
Right. So we are doing this now because it's finally out on Disney Plus. And
yes, I didn't want to go to a movie theater.
And I did. Oops. But I rewatched it on Disney Plus. So I need to refresh my memory. What were your thoughts, Amon?
So first impression, just visually, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Chloe Zhao definitely, you know, got the production team to bend over backwards for those live action or on location shoots. And boy, does it make a difference. I mean, it looks totally different from every other, cinematically, it just looks totally different from every other Marvel movie out there, which I guess that kind of left a bad taste in my mouth for every other MCU movie.
Oh,
because I was like, oh, you guys really did do everything on a soundstage, huh? like all your sets are on a soundstage, huh? That seems super obvious now.
Well, I wouldn't say. I think they all have a special place now, you know. But I agree, it was definitely way more cinematic of a feel.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
it was really beautiful.
It was very well done. It was also just very different from every other Marvel movie, which most people don't like different. And so that's why there were a lot of complaints about Eternals.
A lot of people complaining about it. And I disagree with all of them.
Yeah, I just think
most of them.
Yeah, I mean, there were some things where I was like, you know, it did feel a little too long. I don't think it had to be that long. And I
liked the length of it. I mean, just
fine. I didn't like mind it too much, but I was like, it didn't need to be. It's at some points I remember in the theater thinking this is kind of dragging, what's happening.
Yeah. But at the same time, like I was thinking about this. All right. And the length of the movie, I feel like it is part of the pacing of the movie as well. You know, you have these characters who, they're literally called Eternals, apparently not the Eternals, just Eternals.
Yep.
All right. Mm-hmm. So like everything happens very slowly for them.
That's true. Yeah. I mean,
it has this dragging on feel, but at the same time, that is part of it, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. It would have been very bad if they made a short movie and it's a story that spans 7,000 years. Like that doesn't work.
I mean, I felt the same way about The Godfather. The first time I watched it, in the middle of it, I was like, oh my God, this is dragging on. Why do I need this scene of a guy getting out of a car to walk into a house?
Well, also now movies that were made decades ago, they just feel slower now. We're very used to faster editing, more fast paced.
Yeah. I agree. So, I mean, that particular criticism, like I thought about it and like, I can see why the criticism exists. But I disagree with it because not in terms of like factually what's happening, but I'm like, no, this is part of it. This is a critical part of the feel of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. But I did get the, I mean, it was very obvious by the end of the movie. I did get the sense like, okay, Marvel is just taking us in a whole new direction now when it comes to superheroes, which is good. Yes. Because
it's good. It is good.
Because it's too repetitive then. If you just make another Iron Man type of movie, another Captain America, yeah. You know, like it's just something has to be different about it, right? Like those right. have their place. That's a new phase or whatever of the MCU. So you have to market with something different. And yeah,
you gotta change it up if you want the universe to stay alive and relevant.
Right.
And sure, yeah. There's going to be criticisms, but I really hope that Marvel Studios sticks with it, you know?
I hope so too. I hope they don't do what like Lucasfilm does and cave into freaking
oh my god, I know.
Fan demands, you know, and like yeah. are making people certain people love interest when they shouldn't be. Okay. Like it's just I want Marvel to be, I trust that Kevin Feige will stay on his own creative path and not be swayed by angry yeah. fans. But yeah. So anyway, yeah, that was like my main thing right now that I wanted to say that is that it's clearly going in a very different direction and I'm ready for it.
Yes. I mean, I think that the MCU did a really good job, obviously, with Black Panther. All right. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason it turned out well is because they allowed Ryan Coogler to write a pretty different kind of story.
Yeah.
All right. Than the typical, you know, thing that we've seen with Thor, with Iron Man, with Captain America. I mean, this was just something very, you could tell watching it that something very different was happening. And with Eternals, I feel like they gave the same kind of freedom to Chloe Zhao, except that her vision was to do something that was visually very different.
Yeah.
You know, like Black Panther, it was a very different story in terms of, you know, in terms of MCU movies, mm-hmm. but it looked like an MCU movie.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
it still like, did, yeah.
It visually looked like an MCU movie, which, I mean, it is what it is. I love the MCU movie, so it's not really a complaint. I'm just like, trying to point out that, Eternals was visually different, and I loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you want to talk about the characters' names? And
oh, my God.
The mythology?
Okay. Quick. For anybody who is into comic books and stuff, I would highly recommend Quarantine Comics, which is co-hosted by a friend of the show. And they did an episode on this movie and they really get into the comic history of the Eternals. All right. This was created by Jack Kirby when he came back to Marvel. He was originally with Marvel. He left Marvel. He went to DC and then he came back to Marvel. And one of the first things he did was to create the Eternals. And it was very different at the time. And you look at it, at least for me, now this is the part where I'm going to go different from mm-hmm. what Quarantine Comics discussed.
Uh-huh.
Watching this movie, I didn't really have any exposure to the comics.
Mm-hmm. Me neither.
I kind of knew they existed, but that was it. And after watching the movies, I'm listening to all these names: Thena, Makari, yeah. Fastos, Tiamat, Icarus. All right. Yep. And my mind is immediately going to the story of Icarus. All right, mm-hmm. from Greek mythology, which they did reference in the movies,
uh-huh.
To Athena, the Greek goddess of war and crafts, I guess. War and wisdom.
Oh, I was gonna say, wasn't it like, yeah, wisdom? Okay.
No, the Romans turned Athena into Minerva and made her more a goddess of crafts rather than a goddess of war. Her war goddess side, the Romans kind of pushed off to the side.
Clearly a sign of the patriarchy having some issues there.
Possibly. possibly. Mm-hmm. I would, it's not beyond the realm of possible explanations for what happened. The Romans did have other female gods of war that were purely theirs, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so there's that. Makari, it's like super fast. I'm like, Makari Mercury, mm-hmm. you know, i.e. Greek god Hermes, Roman god Mercury, who is a god of travel and messages. And, you know, he zips around everywhere super fast. Mm-hmm. So I'm pulling all these connections here and there. And even the name of the okay, spoiler alert now. All right. Well, even the name of the celestial who's going to be popping, exploding the earth upon uh-huh. birth. All right. Mm-hmm. Hatching like an egg with the earth as the eggshell, I guess. Tiamat. Mm-hmm. Tiamat was a primordial god from Babylonian religion and mythology, all right? Who was basically the mother of all other gods. Yeah, and so there's
Tiamat
that.
Tiamat a she? Genderless?
Tiamat is referred to as a she.
Uh-huh.
All right? And she was like a, I don't know, she's depicted as like a griffin-like creature in Babylonian scripts and stuff.
Yeah.
And she mated with like the sea god or some shit. And then they've had all the other uh-huh. god babies.
You know what the word Tiamat was also reminding me of? It reminds me of the Urdu word Qiyamat.
Qiyamat. Interesting.
Which means like
fate.
Fate or
destiny?
Don't we say like Qiyamat Kedin, like judgment day and all that?
Right.
Like apocalypse type of God. Yeah, right?
Yeah,
like,
you're right. Yeah, no, I'm thinking of something.
You're thinking of Qismet.
I'm thinking of Qismet, yeah.
Yeah. But Qiyamat, which I thought was funny because Tiamat coming out of the earth in the movie Eternals was basically like the apocalypse. And
which makes me think that the Urdu word Qiyamat, maybe it did originate from Tiamat.
Yeah, that's
from
so
Babylonian.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Religion from ancient that. Babylon's religions.
A little language lesson for everyone.
Yeah, there you go. That's why you come to Grounded Geeks, right? For the language lessons. Yeah, for linguistic history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But sorry, go on.
Yeah. So I'm pulling all these connections from different, you know, the different myths that I'm aware of and whatnot. Even Kingo, I did a little bit of Wikipedia research, and there was a son of Tiamat's called mm-hmm. Kingu.
Interesting.
And the word apparently also translates as unskilled laborer.
That, I guess, works for the character.
Yeah, sure. If you're going to have one of your guys be the comic relief, probably the unskilled laborer. But, you know, I'm thinking of all of this and I'm like, wow, Jack Kirby really just picked up a book and found all these, like a book on mythology and found all these names and then didn't bother to pick up a second book. Because yeah. I feel like that is a great opportunity. Like everything is right there mm-hmm. to write a superhero comic book that really delves into and writes a story that ties into, like, wait, what if all of these mythologies are, in a sense, true and based on something real, i.e. real, quote unquote, you know, mm-hmm. space robots, I guess. But then they didn't really tie it in, you know? Like, why would humans have the mythology of Tiamat if the Eternals didn't even know that name until present day?
Yeah, that's true. I think they were kind of sort of trying to do that. Like the whole, that scene where, who was it, was talking about how Sprite made up that story about Icarus flying too close to the sun or whatever. And like, mm-hmm. so they dropped in these little fun Easter egg kind of hints. That's like, oh, look, yeah, like this is where these legends come from. It's actually the Eternals. And but I wanted more of that. I wanted more in general of the history and going back in time and seeing how they like,
I think
helped civilization and stuff. So
The closest that I found where they, in the movie at least, where they tied it in pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was very short, but I thought it was a good tie-in, is Gilgamesh. All right.
Yeah.
Because at the gates of Babylon, you know, that fight that they were having at the earlier in the movie against the deviants.
Right.
It was Gilgamesh who was doing the flashiest shit.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I could totally see, like, oh, maybe that's where how the stories in the epic of Gilgamesh started.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I can totally see that. But, you know, like, it would have been cool to have more snippets of showing, like, Athena being in Athens and becoming and being revered as a goddess.
Yeah.
And with Sprite maybe being in walking around in Europe, being the source of sprites, I guess. Water spirits, forest sprites, you know.
Yeah.
Like that's what the word sprite means, you know. Or having Icarus be in Greece and maybe having actual wings, even if it's just like cosmetic, like he just straps on some wings and be like, yep, this is how I can fly. I can't actually just like float off the ground. See, wings, that's how I'm flying, guys. Like, like that would have been a lot more fun for me. And I know that me is a very limited audience. So
I agree. You know, Disney should just make a Disney Plus show where they go into more details of that.
how different legends started.
Yeah, they should do like a spinoff of that. Maybe it can be animated.
Would be awesome.
I doubt that they'll be able to afford that for just a Disney Plus show. I don't know.
I know. But, that's true. Mm-hmm. Kind of take the what if route.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that would have been a lot of fun. And because I think a lot of these names, there's some that are obvious. They're very odd. Like Athena, everyone could tell. Okay. Athena.
Yeah.
And Icarus too. I think those were some of the more obvious ones. Whereas I don't like a druid, or I mean, besides trying to say the word druid, I don't know.
So I tried seeing if there was maybe some character that Druid could have been pulled from in ancient mythology. I couldn't find anything.
Yeah.
But it seems like he must have been pulled from somewhere because he's basically acting like a god with his mind control.
Yeah, you know? There's definitely, but I don't know where the name is from. And then what about Phastos?
Phastos, the closest thing that I can come up with is the Greek god Hephaestus.
Okay.
All right. That's, you know, Hephaestus was a god of mechanical technology, inventions, building things, you know, and building intricate machineries and things like that. So like, that's the closest that I could come up with.
Mm-hmm.
However, I kept thinking like Daedalus, all right, who was the ancient Greek inventor and father of Icarus, who made the wings of wax, which melted when Icarus flew too close to the sun. Right. You know, like, I feel like that was a lost opportunity there.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of Icarus, obviously this—
What a douche.
Yeah, okay, first of all, what a douche, right? But also, part of me is— when I watched Eternals the second time, I felt a little bit more sympathetic towards him because I was like, he's just like a really good soldier and he's following orders. And I think he is able to see more of the big picture, and where he was like, hello, we need to let Tiamat emerge and stuff because Tiamat will help millions of other worlds come to life, you know, like Earth.
It's a circle of life. We eat cows and you know, celestials eat humans.
Right. Exactly. So I kind of was, he kind of reminds me of, you know, everyone who's like, Thanos was right. Like, I kind of feel like there's going to be mugs saying Icarus was right, depending on where else Marvel goes with this. Like, there's going to be some crazy consequences from not allowing the celestial to emerge, right?
And they definitely imply that.
Yeah. Like, it's just, okay. So it's just, I don't know, like things are messed up there. But also, what are your thoughts on how, so in the end, Icarus was not able to kill Circe when she's trying to stop the emergence. By the way, where does Circe come from? The name Circe
comes from the name Circe.
Wait, but who was Circe besides that horrible woman from Game of Thrones?
Oh, I didn't even remember that. She was a sorceress in ancient Greek mythology who shows up in the Odyssey, all right? And she actually turns Odysseus's crew into pigs.
Right.
And then
this is coming back to me.
And then I'm pretty sure Odysseus just had an affair with her for like 10 years and just lived on her island and then finally got his sailors free. And yeah, I was I guess I better go back to my wife.
This is the Circe that's spelled C-I-R-C-E, right?
Correct.
And in the movie, it's spelled S-E-R-S-I, which is what was throwing me off, right?
So. Yeah, but to be fair, does the spelling really matter when you're talking about ancient Greek?
No, it doesn't matter. No, but I'm saying for me specifically, I was thrown off by the spelling, and that's why I didn't even think of Circe.
And that was the closest connection for me as well. You've got Circe who can transmute things, basically, turn, you know, rocks into water, turn water into wine or whatever. But and in the mythology, she turns people into things, which is not something that the eternal Circe can do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's still a connection there. However, mm-hmm. she seemed a lot nicer in the movies than in ancient mythology.
Yeah, just a lot nicer in general.
Apparently, she was also a lot nicer in the movie than in the comics.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Hmm. Yeah. Apparently, at least at our friends at Quarantine Comics, they mentioned that Circe was a lot more of that like femme fatale kind of character in the comics than in the movies.
Yeah. So I've had discussions with other people who did not really like Gemma Chan's portrayal of Circe in Eternals.
I didn't either.
And I actually liked it because it seemed to me that she was just always like, she was kind of like, she's always loved the people of Earth. She's always marveled at what they can do and like really like, mm-hmm. like had a deep admiration and affection for humankind. And in a sense, she was a little scatterbrained, like always kind of dazing off into the distance or whatever. And she never even herself thought of herself as a leader. And then she was sort of like, you know, Ajax dies and picks her as the next leader. And she's like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, this is not. And so in that sense, I kind of liked that they made her a bit more timid, a bit more, you know, like, like leaning more into feminine energy rather than like, I'm a leader. I know what I'm doing, blah, 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 you know, and showing the strengths of that kind of energy as well, if that makes any sense.
I can see that. However, where I would break from your assessment on this is that I can see that, but the way Gemma Chan portrayed her just felt very bland. Like that, everything that you mentioned, it didn't jump out at me, you know? Like she was such a Circe's character. Part of it was the writing, part of it was the performance, part of it was the way the story was structured. She was just such a blank slate, mm-hmm. you know? I can see that, like, she plays the role of the character who is most connected to humanity, you know, and she is definitely playing the role of, like, for the audience of, like, what would I do if I was in her situation, all mm-hmm. right? But when you have all of these other Eternals with such strong and distinctive personalities, she just felt very flat to me, you know?
I think,
like, she just didn't have she just didn't bring the kind of charisma necessary to be like the main character anchor in the movie.
I think she is like a great representation of introverts. And that's how I saw her. And
ooh, I like that.
Right. And I don't think, like, it was really kind of defying that, like, you know, we like charismatic people and all that. And like, hey, she's not that charismatic. And yet she still has strengths that she's bringing to the table. She's still trying to lead however best she can. And, you know, we're all just kind of stumbling along, Aman. Okay. So like, I just really, I don't know. This time I felt really I felt more connected to her this time. I was like, aw.
Yeah, I might have to watch the movie again.
Okay, wait, but going back to what I was originally saying like 45 minutes ago. So Icarus, what did you think of him at the end? He was not able to kill Cersei or stop her in any way. He literally just failed at that and started crying and then flew into the sun. Like,
that made me laugh.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought, I was like, damn, is he just so, maybe he was just so scared of Arishem that he just didn't even want to deal with that and like being punished. And
I thought of it as a mixture of making the story true about Icarus flying too close to the sun.
Right.
And also seppuku, like ritual suicide.
Right.
Where he's just like, I have failed my god. Which is what the Celestials were to the Eternals. Like, Arishem was their god who could do no wrong. Just this idea of, like, I failed so hard.
The only honorable thing for me to do
is to fly into the sun.
Yeah.
And kill myself.
Yeah. I agree. I think that was the situation. Interesting.
Yeah. However, the Icarus flying into the sun thing, it made me laugh. I lolled. I laughed. I was like, wow, really?
Yeah.
Couldn't have found a volcano or some shit.
Yeah, for real.
I mean, it's gonna take him like 15 minutes to get there. You know, I think it takes sunlight 8 minutes to get to Earth. So unless he's flying at the speed of light.
Which he could be. He is an Eternal. Who knows?
Yeah, but he's still a robot. If he could fly that fast, then what's the point of Makari?
He's a robot made in space by a Celestial. Arishem's a Celestial, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, obviously there's like some Celestial technology coming into play when he's building these robots.
But then what's the point of Makari?
Yeah, that's actually another thing where it's like, you know, when Sprite asks, like, why did Arishem make me this way? Which is like, a child, right? Perpetually a child. And in terms of physical looks. And then I kind of was wishing that like she and Makari could have had that conversation. And Makari would be like, yeah, why did he make me deaf? You know? And like, why do that? And why put any sort of like disadvantage tech, you know, quote unquote, not that I don't want to say it like that, but you know, like, it's like, why do that when you're sending out these Eternals to whatever, cultivate these worlds just so for them to die? I don't know.
Well, like, she did say that she could feel vibrations.
Yeah, that's true.
When people talk. So is she really like deaf in the typical sense?
That's
She doesn't speak, but she's not like.
Well, that's true. Maybe that's actually their way of showing, of saying that, like, you know, none of these things that people typically see as disadvantageous are any sort of defects at all. You know, like Makari can do things aside from her speed. She can do things that other people cannot. But with Sprite, it was very much like a, why did he make you
make me a child?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, anyway, there is also advantages of also being a child and stuff too.
Right. So what I was thinking of, when I thought that was the Celestials made the Eternals as beings that could, while superpowered, could blend in with humanity.
Yeah.
You know, so as not to scare the bejesus out of, you know, primitive humans.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But then I was like, but if these same Eternals just have their memories wiped and get sent to other planets for the next awakening or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do they still look like humans or do they have different bodies?
They must have different bodies. But then
they must.
In that vision, or, you know, when Cersei finally is able to talk to Arishem and he's like showing her the grand plan, you know, and then he shows that whole line of robots, they all look pretty human figured. Like they're all like wires and weird stuff at that point.
I mean,
but like,
yeah, but still bipedal.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and
no one looked like some green alien spider or something. You know?
Yeah, there were no centaur looking things. No, nothing with multiple heads, nothing octopus looking, like, which if there are aliens, I'm convinced that some of them have got to look like octopi, because I'm pretty sure octopi are sentient.
Wait, what do you mean?
Huh? They're very, very smart, and they do things where it's like they'll decorate their homes. Like, that's not something that creatures other than humans do.
Yeah, I agree.
Decorating their homes. So
I really love octopi.
Yeah, I'm pretty convinced that
if octopi
worked better together, they would probably just conquer humanity.
I think that scene was kind of a goof. They should have made it look like they make all kinds of, like, Arsha makes all different kinds of beings.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I can see the idea of having a bunch of blank slate bodies, but you would still need a variety of bodies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't remember what we were initially talking about.
Where were we going with this?
I have no idea where we were going with this.
You were talking about Icarus flying into the sun. We were talking about
that. And then Makari and Sprite. And okay. And then one last thing that I kind of wanted to bring up was, so in the end, Druig, Makari, and Thena leaving on the Domo, the spaceship.
Right.
To go find and tell other Eternals, like, yo, your life is a lie. Like, you know, all that. And you know how Druig, he asked Makari, do you think they'll actually be as open to it as we were? And she was like, yeah, I think they will, because the truth will set them free. And
I thought that was hilarious.
Why?
Because of the times that we live in, times where facts don't matter and people hear the truth and they just like become even more entrapped in their own minds.
Yes, exactly. So that's also what I started thinking. Well, first I started thinking of, whenever I hear that line, I think of the Rihanna song Lemon, where literally the first line lyric in the song is, the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. And but also that's also the title of one of Gloria Steinem's books.
Okay.
So anyway, it's like, it's got all these like layers to it, this quote.
Right.
So that's exactly it, right? Like, it didn't make me laugh. It made me despair. So we had different reactions, but I do wonder.
Well,
I mean, this is such
is
a huge
from a source of despair.
Right. Okay. But so, I mean, this is the big philosophical question that popped up in my head is, will the truth actually set us free, or will it be too painful? And so this made me think of The Matrix, for example, and how, you know, when we were talking about in our previous episode about what is real and what's not, and how there seem to be more and more people who are like, who cares if it's real or not? And then this also made me think of that specific episode from Love, Death, and Robots. Did we talk about this in one of the episode that's called Beyond the Aquila?
We did not. I discussed it because we wanted to do an episode about.
Yeah. So, I mean, that episode is essentially, just to sum it up real quick, but, you know, it's about this guy and his crew traveling through space, and they get sucked into some weird time warp thing. And he's trying to figure out what's going on. And there's this other like woman there. And then basically he realizes in the end that it's all a projection and his life is very, very awful in this weird time warp black hole thing. And everything is dead. And so he was just seeing like this illusion that, so anyway, so it's like in that situation, I don't want to know the truth because it looks awful and painful and horrendous. But I also feel like in a lot of situations, I do want to know the truth and it would set me free in some way.
Yeah. But you know, in this case, when she said the truth will set them free, that doesn't necessarily mean that they will agree with them, because they may be like, oh, that's the truth. Wow. The work I've been doing is even more important than I thought.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, and just to take some real world examples, like finding out the truth, you know, about this pandemic, for example, has brought a variety of different reactions from people.
Yeah.
You know, there are some people who just want to deny it and they're like, screw that. I don't care. Like, I'm just gonna keep living my life. I don't care about wearing a mask or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there are some people who, I guess, have retreated even further and don't know how to live a normal life and are trying to wait for things to go back to normal. And Anyway, I'm blabbering on now, but it's just, it really made me think again about what we talked about last time, which is like, do we care about things being real or not? Do we care about knowing the truth or not?
Yeah. I mean, not just do we care, but more to the core of that, does it matter?
Yeah. But that makes me sad because I feel like it goes against everything we've been taught as kids. Like the truth matters, honesty matters, and like all this stuff. And I'm like, damn it, does it? Like, I don't know. Now everyone's telling me it doesn't. And like, we should just go on and...
Yeah. So on to a different topic, still fine, having to do with that end credits scene.
Oh, yes. We have to talk about the post-credits.
Why is his name Eros?
Yeah, where is that from?
Eros is another primordial Greek god, who is the god of lust and sex, I guess.
Of course, they'd pick Harry Styles to play Eros.
I know nothing about Harry Styles other than he was a name in One Direction.
Yes.
Which I guess they've all gone in different directions now.
Yeah, it's not One Direction anymore.
I mean, you've got Zayn Malik doing whatever he's doing music-wise. You've got Harry Styles.
We don't need to go into this. Okay, continue. What were you saying about Eros?
Why pick that name? Like, I mean, that was the part where I'm like, oh, Jack Kirby just picked up a book of like... of mythology and picked a bunch of different names and then didn't bother to read that book or pick up a second book.
Clearly he was trying to rhyme with Thanos, which by the way, does Thanos come from any sort of?
Yes. Thanatos was the Greek god, Greek god-esque of death. Mm-hmm. He reported to Hades. Hades was the ruler of the underworld. All right. Mm-hmm. But Thanatos was the god of death. He was the one who actually like took people
and removed them.
People's souls from their bodies. Okay. Basically.
So very much makes sense for the MCU character Thanos, right?
Yes. So I very feel much like... so. And in fact, it even made even more sense in the comics because in the movies, his motivation was, you know, I guess environmental, you know, whatever bullshit thing that wasn't actually going to work. Right. But in the comics, he wanted to kill everybody because he was infatuated with death, not the concept of death, but the actual anthropomorphification. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
The person death who is portrayed as a woman in Marvel comics. And ironically, she ended up picking Deadpool over Thanos. So don't ask me.
Sorry, that's so funny.
Don't ask me what the fuck was happening there. All right. Because I'm not sure. But Thanos.
Is it because his name is Deadpool? That
I don't know. I don't know. But it's hilarious.
You know that Deadpool would totally rub that in Thanos' face for like the rest of his life.
I'm pretty sure he did. And I'm pretty sure there is a storyline out there where Deadpool does kill Thanos, I think.
Oh.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Interesting. I'm not sure. Probably involves some fourth wall breaking.
Okay. Well, clearly right now we don't know enough about Eros to know, like, meaning MCU Eros, like what direction they're going to go in and what's happening with him. But I genuinely
Are they going to send Harry Styles in?
I regret using the word direction. Okay. Anyway, but Jack Kirby or whoever picked the name Eros because it rhymes with Thanos. That's what's happening.
Does it? I don't think it rhymes.
It ends with OS, both of them. Okay.
That's so clearly not they're a rhyme. Brothers. That's not a rhyme,
Thanos,
Lena.
Eros. Can you hear?
Okay. I disagree.
Okay, whatever. Second post-credit scene. Can we talk?
Almost. My big issue with him picking the name Eros is that Eros actually exists in human mythology. All right. So where the fuck did this name come from somebody who's never been to
Earth? What do you mean? Why is that your big issue? That's where all the other characters' names come from, too. It's actually in mythology, right?
Yeah, that's where it comes from. But that's been my whole beef this whole time, is that like Tiamat, all right? Like this is a name that human beings are obviously familiar with, but it's not something that was ever mentioned as a source, you know, until current times, you know, like what's the connection here? Like, why didn't you tie it in better?
Right. Okay. Well, obviously same they're issue. Not going to tie in Eros in a post-credit scene that was 2 minutes long.
I know, but like, I don't know, something. It bugged me. All right.
Your frustration is unwarranted in this situation. Sorry.
Totally denied. Warranted.
Veto.
Totally
denied.
Warranted.
Veto denied.
I said what I said and I'm sticking by it.
Can we move on to the second post-credit
yes.
scene?
Yes, we can.
Mm-hmm. So
did you find out who that voice was?
Obviously everyone knew it's Mahershala. It's Blade. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's but Blade. Who is Dane Whitman? Again, I don't actually know who that is.
Some character named Black Knight.
Okay.
Who I know nothing about.
Yeah.
I think there's a flying horse involved.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. Knight. Yeah. Makes sense. He would have a horse. Okay.
Yeah, but it flies. That's literally all I know about this character. I know nothing else.
So we just know this. There's a character named Black Knight coming up, and Mahershala sounds great as Blade already because he's phenomenal. So, okay, great. Well, I thought you knew more about this, and that's
why I know nothing. I know nothing. I think both Blade and Black Knight were part of some British make-believe underground agency, like MI something or other,
whose
goal it is to fight vampires, which is the same as like Torchwood or UNIT from the Doctor Who universe, or you know, like if you're looking at the Hellboy comics, the Bureau of Paranormal Activity or whatever the fuck it's called, you know, like same kind of concept.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm very excited for Blade. And
I am too.
Which is amazing. I mean, this speaks to how amazing Mahershala is. Like, we literally only heard his voice and everyone was so hyped. So yeah, I'm pretty excited. So.
Oh yeah. I mean, honestly, like when I heard that they were doing Blade, my first sort of reaction was like, why would you try to redo Wesley Snipes's brilliant performance? All right. Mm-hmm. Like the same, apparently Kevin Feige said that the reason that they didn't bring Green Goblin or Doc Ock into the previous Spider-Man movies before is because he was like, how could you top, you know?
Yeah. Like Willem Dafoe and Alfred Molina. Yeah.
Alfred Molina's performances, you know, like they already just did it perfectly. How could you
Right.
Do it differently or better. I felt the same way. And then they announced Mahershala Ali, and I was like, maybe.
Yeah, I was like, maybe. Okay, I'm down.
I was like, all right, I'm willing to give this a shot.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what you can do.
I'm excited. I'm very excited.
Same here. I wonder if he's going to get like Kumail Nanjiani ripped.
I think he like already is. More ripped than what Kumail Nanjiani was before. So
probably. Yeah. Which also just got to give a shout out to a local Karachi boy for making it into an MCU movie.
That's true. Congrats, Kumail.
Yeah.
Although why didn't he fight? Why wasn't he in the main scene, the fighting scene? He just peaced out and I was like, excuse me? Like
I think it's because he was conflicted. He like didn't want to like he didn't want to help his friends because he was like, I'm not fighting my God.
I don't know. I felt like it could have been done better. It was a little too, like, it seemed like Marvel just wanted to write him out of that scene so that it would be one less character to deal with. And I just, something about it was not smooth to me.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And then he just like comes back in London and he's like helping Cersei and Sprite with luggage and taking Sprite to school or boarding school or wherever the hell.
Yeah, I think it was very much of a like, this is not a fight I want to get involved in. But yeah, I agree. It could have been handled much, much better.
He just peaced out and it was weird.
You know, he didn't want to pick a side.
Yeah, which it's just fine. I get it. But like, I don't know. It was weird. Anyway,
it was weird. Yeah.
Cool. I think we discussed.
Went to high school with a cousin of ours.
He did. Yes. So there, guys, we're like almost famous. And on that note, I think that's a great note to end on. Yeah, we've covered all things Eternals. As always, thank you for listening to Grounded Geeks.
And we'll catch you for episode 2 of season 3.
Yay!